The progressive penchant for changing established word meanings is the concept of fiat currency, as applied to language. Just as in fiat currency, a form of money is money because the king said so. That's what fiat means in Latin, because I said so. As applied to the dictionary, this devalues the language. I mean, what's the point of changing the word Latino to Latinx? Would you like to eat a burritex? Perhaps drink a cappuccinex? As used in a sentence, Daniel Natal es muy machex. The way that the term liberal changed meanings provides an example for how words morph in connotation. A viewer named EngineKid88 wrote me to say, "Daniel, you should do a video about how the very definition of liberal no longer means liberal." I searched the web for define liberal, and the definition is 180 degrees away from what the so-called liberals are about now. 1. Willing to accept or respect opinions different from one's own, open to new ideas. 2. Relating to or denoting a political and social philosophy that promotes individual rights, civil liberties, democracy, and free enterprise. EngineKid88 is right. When Aristotle used the term liberal, he meant someone who spent the right amount of money. He used it in what we call the golden mean, between two extremes. For instance, the golden mean is truth, so the excess is exaggeration, and the defect is irony. If the golden mean is bravery, then the excess is recklessness, and the defect is cowardliness. When discussing money, Aristotle said, "The mean state is liberality, the excess, prodigality, the defect, stinginess." Hundreds of years later, Cicero said that a liberal education derives from liber, which in Latin means a free man. He said that the liberal arts were a reference to this. This was the education worthy of a free man. He said that the education of a free man consists of teaching him how to think, whereas the education of a slave consists of teaching him what to think. Unfortunately, our education system today is not designed to turn out free men, but slaves. So they're trained in what to think, as Noam Chomsky points out here.
And I think that's the purpose, really. I mean, the purpose is just to impose authority. You know, here's the great thoughts. All this other stuff is rubbish. Just learn those and you're okay. I'll pick them, you memorize them. That's basically the line. Now, of course, that's the opposite of education. I mean, that's the way you study Talmud or something like that.
I was watching a video of an economics professor talking to students. He talked about Adam Smith's belief in not having the king regulate trade. Instead, he believed that governments didn't have to micromanage transactions. That's best left to the people conducting the transactions themselves, who know best what they want, without a cabal directing the transactions from above. The professor referred to Smith's disinclination to be directed from above as economic liberalism. He felt like he had to race in and tell the kids that liberalism didn't mean the same thing then as it does now. Back then, he explained, liberalism literally meant freedom. So economic liberalism meant economic freedom. Today, people incorrectly calling themselves liberals are the most hell-bent on top-down control and government regulation. This authoritarian strain was exactly the opposite of what Smith understood liberalism to be in 1776. The thing today is not to get caught up in the shifting buzzwords. They're largely meaningless now, stripped of their significance. They've been devalued, as I said earlier. What we call conservatives today are actually the historical liberals. What we consider American values are actually from the left wing of the revolutionaries from the English Civil War under Oliver Cromwell. These were the people who said that they didn't need kings and wanted individualism and self-determination. These are liberal values, i.e., the values of freedom. Progressives today actually hate liberal institutions like free speech or freedom of assembly or freedom of religion. They even despise medical freedom and think that the state should own your body. So it's a mistake to think in binary terms of liberal or conservative. There's a third option, being an American. So beware of false choices. I was reading Tim Wu's The Master Switch, and he was talking about false choices in terms of the history of mass media. When FM came up in radio, the people who ran the older AM system tried to stop the revolution, so they held out to the public only two choices, AM or the new product called TV. Wu writes, "The disinformation campaign's trump card was television, and the Radio Trust's insistence that it, not FM, was the future." Many standard histories, in fact, describe the slow development of FM to the rise of television. Of course, there is no denying that television was a greater leap. But insofar as television never has supplanted radio, the Radio Trust was presenting a false choice. There was no reason for the federal government not to allow the development of both a new FM industry and a television industry. Except in the industry's tail spinning, it never was a matter of one or the other. Likewise now, it's not a matter of one or the other, liberal or conservative. With the identity of American, there's a third choice. It's triadic, not binary, just like Aristotle's conception of the golden mean with three things, the ideal, the excess, and the defect. That's three. The philosopher Hegel in the 19th century had thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. That's triadic in structure too. Philosopher John David Ebert talks about the triadic nature of philosophy here.
Okay, so then we move into the next consciousness structure, which of course then comes in with Toynbee's second generation of high civilization, and with the Greeks, the Hebrews, the Persians, the Indians, the Chinese, they all have philosophers now. So this is now the mental consciousness structure, which cuts the circle. We're no longer running around in circles. We're thinking in a straight linear way now. Philosophy comes into being based on, it's triadic in its thinking. It's based on thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Syllogistic thinking comes into being with Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. It's a different kind of mentality.
When I was reading Melissa Lane's book, The Birth of Politics, she talked about how a republic was the golden mean between monarchy and anarchy. So our very form of government is triadic. Look at how we have three branches of government. Socrates, too, talks about three basic types of people in society. Those motivated by sensory pleasures, those motivated by honor, and those motivated by truth. Triadic. I was talking to author Dr. Joseph Farrell, and he was discussing the triadic nature of Christianity with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This set it at odds with Gnosticism, which was dualistic. They believed in a Manichaean choice of good versus evil, or up versus down, tall versus short, etc. Their conception of reality was binary, so Christianity represented an intellectual advance over Gnosticism's simplicity. I just think of it like this. During the 2016 election, one journalist said something that stayed with me. In writing about the neocons attacking Trump for not being a true conservative, the perceptive reporter said something penetrating. Trump didn't run as a conservative or a liberal. He did something altogether more profound. He ran as an American. Participants who used the New American magazine reported that they experienced 12% more muscle mass, 22% more smiles from attractive strangers, and a 72% reduction in cognitive decline. Check us out at thenewamerican.com.